Greetings in the precious name of our Lord. Glad for the privilege of gathering together again this morning and sharing around the Word. This morning the message is different than I've ever had, I think. But so we never get too old to learn new things anyways. I'm given an assignment for in a couple about 6 weeks, and this is, I'm going to give it a run this morning, and I want you to be honest with me and help me out and make some improvements on it. The title is Growing Old Gracefully. Growing Old Gracefully. What's that good for me anyhow? Well, I think it's time we start now, because tomorrow will be older than we are now. And I believe this morning, as we think of growing old, the growing old comes automatic. The graceful part gives me a problem. You just don't have to do nothing, very little at all, to grow older, but the graceful part is what we wonder sometimes, what does that really mean? So I went to the dictionary and looked what gracefully means. Simply said, sharing grace. That didn't help a whole lot. But then what grace means, the quality of being attractive, God's loving favor, mercy toward mankind, to confer honor or dignity willingly. That's what Webster says. So I believe this morning, as we think of the title and our position in life, whether we're young or old, we need to learn how to do that. Again, I'm asking that you would correct me if anything that I shouldn't say or should say or that I didn't say, to add to the message. Turn with me to Psalms 37, verse 25. There's a number of scriptures we could turn to. The one to turn to is relate to the passing of time and what happens, how we need to relate to it. But this is the psalmist. This is testimony, and I trust that, that we can all attribute to this, look at life in this way as we get older. I have been young, and now I am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Psalmist says that the passing of time did not make the difference in God as far as his faithfulness. He is faithful ever, forever, and always is. I'm glad for the very fact that we have this scripture and that we wonder sometimes just how it really all works out in life, how it's going to work out. And I trust that as we walk with God from day to day, that we can experience his blessings on us. Turn with me to Psalms 90. A number of verses there that I want to refer to as well. Psalms 90, verse 9 through 17. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, as so is thy wrath? So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands, yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. The psalmist gives us some recipes in relation to life. He says, when we know that our years are spent as a tale that is told, it doesn't take long. You read a story, you read a biography, and it's all condensed in a book that isn't very many pages, and that's however many years, might be 100 years, might be 50 years, I don't know. I remember in school we had to write our own biography. I don't know how many of you ever did that. Write your own life story. It was, you could remember as far back and up until that time. And it was interesting. That's a autobiography, I think you call that, if that's correct, teachers. Autobiography, and a biography is when somebody else writes it. Either that is turned around, I forget which. Anyways, something gets written about it. And so it's like, the psalmist says here that it's like a story that is told. And our days are 70 years, and if by reason of strength there be 80, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, soon cut off when we fly away. How can we grow old gracefully? How is this done? What is the recipe for that? Grandpa Real said when he was about 90, my father-in-law, he had fallen, I believe it was, and he had some trouble anyhow, and he said, I'll just tell you one thing, getting old isn't for sissies. And so I guess he figured that was kind of tough on him. So old age does have experiences that youngers don't have. We may not be as sharp, may not be as up to date as some, but on the other hand, we have a lot that you don't have if you're not as old as the person you're talking to. And I believe that we need to understand that there is a blessing in comes with age. It's something that cannot be purchased. You cannot buy wisdom. You go through school, you learn a lot of things, but when you have the experience, there's something that drives the point home that is can't be gotten any other way, at least not as valuable. Often reflect on this and bury an older person, that there goes all the wisdom that person had, that he knew. Whether he was a doctor, whether he was a farmer, whether he was a preacher, or whether he was just a day laborer, whatever it was, whatever he learned in life, all the wisdom that he had collected is gone. Unless he had somehow conveyed it while he was living. And so this morning, as we think of age, it's something that's, I don't know how to say it. It's just like it is, that's all I can say, I guess. We just get older and get older and older, and finally you're old, and then you wonder how it all happened. I would simply encourage everyone this morning, young and old, the time to begin preparing for old age is now, not tomorrow. Do it now, because now is the time. We lay it to heart. Habits and mannerisms are formed that last for a lifetime. I remember in 1W service, they had an old man that he was as cantankerous as could be. He was just as backwards and wouldn't cooperate. And I was supposed to shave him every morning. And he was a farmer. And he left me know that he wasn't paying me every time I shave him. I said, you don't have to. And of course, he cussed and swore, and he fought and carried on. But the only thing is, he had a boss, a lady boss, that was a couple hundred pounds, and he was a lot smaller. And she held him down, and I shaved him, and regardless what he squawked about. And he said, well, he wasn't that way when he was younger. Well, I don't know. Sometimes we say, well, that's life. You know, it's maturing. And people do change when they get older. And whether it's graceful or not, I guess, is a question many times. But I would like to encourage each one this morning to prepare now for old age.
It's sure to come if you have birthdays. And
it's all right, because God ordained it that way. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I believe this morning, as we think of that, we think of age coming on, we think of maturing. We know that Ecclesiastes 12 is certainly in focus. Let's turn there for a few thoughts. Ecclesiastes 12. Talks to the young, and it talks to the older ones as well. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. And when the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sounding of the grinding is low, he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. Because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Wherever ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the cistern, or the wheel broken at the pitcher broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. He gave them good heed, and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, whether and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The wise man Solomon, the wisest man, penning these words. And yet you wonder where Solomon is today. With his multiplicity of wives, he went against the commandment of God, and he said, thou shalt not increase this, and that's exactly what he did. And they finally turned his heart away. But he knew the answer. Regardless of what Solomon did, the truth still stands. The conclusion of the matter is, we need to fear God and keep his commandments, because it's the whole duty of man, whether it's good or bad. It will be brought into judgment. I think as we think of preparing or growing old gracefully, there are some things we need to be doing and some things that we should not do. And maybe we'll just mention a few of those and probably miss the ones that you think about. But as I think of age, has a sobering effect. And I think of what I'd like to be, pick out somebody I'd like to be like when I'm old. I'd like to be like Brother Sidney.
Gingrich, he was 19 years my senior. He had been 100 years old the other Sunday.
Exactly to the day. And he was, remember he had the message when I was ordained bishop. And he was not the smartest man that Pennsylvania ever produced, but he was a good man, a godly man. And I remember many of meetings we sat there and he would kind of keep up and still not keep up. And finally he said, well, what are you talking about? Well, then the rest of the bishops, they would kindly bring him up to date. He said, oh, okay. And then he'd go on again. But he had such a godly manner about him. It'd be nice if I could just be like he is, was. He had some wise sayings. One of the wise sayings I remember him saying was, a home-going preacher makes church-going people. And he visited people in Lebanon like no one else did. And there's a lot of people, number of people that from the city were brought into the church because of him. And I believe this morning, as we think of growing old gracefully, it was he had a grace about him that was very attractive. Some of the things we need to do as we think of getting old and do it gracefully is to be thankful. It's in us, in all of us, to be grouchy and unthankful when things don't go our way, when things don't quite pan out the way we thought they would be. But to be thankful. And it's good to do that as a young person. You know, parents teach their children when something is given to them, now what do you say? Well, give me that. No, thank you. You know, that's a rule of courtesy. And, you know, I don't know if it, how much we lose that as we lose some of our facilities of life, but I'm glad to be among old people that are thankful, people that know that they had something given to them. For what you can do for yourself, be thankful that you can do it. He said, well, what's good about today? Well, I'm not in bed, I'm not crippled. And I said, if you got a discouraging day, just take a trip to a nursing home and see those old folks laying in bed, crippled up. At least I'm not that way. And it helps us to appreciate what we have. We ought to be thankful for what we can do for others, or what others do for you as well. You know, when I think of that, why, it's part of being graceful. And I don't know if, well, we're not going to go there, but, you know, if everybody would just say, what do you expect out of an old person? And that's attractive. What's attractive about old people? They're getting gray-haired or no hair at all and wrinkles and so forth. But I'm thankful for what I have. Above all, I'm thankful for salvation. Thankful we sang this morning, the folder there, you know, that paid in full with the blood of the Lamb. I don't know what else I'd rather have than that just written across the pages of God. All the sins of my life have been taken care of. But that's more than a lot of people have. There's no use to despair, but it is challenging to get old and to know that time is slipping away. And then what? We will go and not return again. And I'm glad that we don't have to come back here, but that God has a place for us. And but if we take the advice of Solomon at the end of the chapter 12, The conclusion of the whole matter is to fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, because God is going to bring things into judgment. I remember yet so well in family worship at home when Dad read this chapter the first time I can remember it, and I was stubborn and obstinate, and I wanted to do my own thing. And he said, you know, we can do what you want to do, but then the last verse caught my attention. For God will bring every work into judgment, whether it be good or evil. And then you had to come to facts that no, you can't do as you want to. You got to do what God wants us to do. And so this morning, when I think of getting older and being graceful about it, something that is attractive, I don't know if I'm doing it or not. I want to, but there are days that are better than other days, and there's times you suddenly realize that you should have done this before and didn't. You crawl off the tractor instead of jump off the tractor now. Because if you'd have done that, you probably wouldn't be quite as immobile as I am now. But you know, but as young people, they just do that. That's okay, as long as you get by. But after a while, it catches up with you. But when you know that life is pretty well gone, it's just a matter of a few more years, maybe not. And then I'll be over here to my right to have my tombstone up already. And the Lord tarries, and then we'll be brought into face to face with our Redeemer. What will it be? Well, I believe that one thing we need to do is enjoy each day that God gives you. Your health, your ability to work. So many people today look at work as something that's a necessary evil. I enjoyed work. I enjoyed doing what I did. But not everybody is minded that way. But the ability to do something and to contribute to mankind, to the welfare of people, it's such a blessing. And it's quite sobering to realize that that is passing off the scene and won't be long, and you'll be more of a bother than anything else, maybe already. Avoid complaining. Anybody here that's perfect in that? I'm not. You know, sometimes you wish that it was just different, but avoid complaining. Enter into activities possible for you to do. Well, it may not be as good as others, but at least you're able to do something and enter into it as good as you can. We'll be remembered by what we have done. Song says, fading away like the stars in the morning, losing their light in the glorious sun. And so only be remembered by what you have done. Look for ways to help others. And that young people can do that. And we are really blessed. I really feel blessed this morning because family and friends that care for me more than I need, more than I deserve, I mean. So it really is a real blessing as we think of that. we sometimes get down, we get discouraged. We shouldn't be, but sometimes I think it's okay to sit in the lazy boy and cry, isn't it? I hope. It's just life. And is that really what the title says? Do it gracefully. I believe this morning, as I think of life and it's what we face from day to day, the uncertainties and the brevity of life, it's just a blessing to know that of a family and friends. And I want to thank each one of you what you have done for us in the last
while. Made life worthwhile. Cards, gifts, visits, the list goes on.
Wish somehow we could be worthy of that. But God be praised for it, and God bless you for sharing. I know that the uncertainties of life are real, and we wonder sometimes just what all life holds. I guess one of the biggest fears I have is not so much of facing death, but what are we going to face until then? I hope I don't have to be a burden to someone. I say there's two things I ask God that I would never have, and that's to have a crippling stroke or Alzheimer's. I think I can handle the rest. I'm not sure about that, but I hope I can. But the crippling stroke brings me back face to face with the men that I took care of for 2 years. And you can't even take care of yourself. And it was a real challenge. I thought I was patient with him, but I'm sure I could have done a whole lot better. But so those are some of the things that people face when they get advanced in age and find life different than it had been at one time. I think this subject should have been probably a Wednesday evening discussion and an open discussion. I usually don't do that on a Sunday morning when I have a sermon, but are we allowed to do that this morning? If anybody has anything to share, I'd certainly welcome it. I think of people that are younger and going through a lot of trials and tests. I think of the three widows we have. Never faced that. The uncertainty of being alone is real. And to grow gracefully is a gift of God. Help us to be grateful for what others have done for you. I'm sure this is going to be a short sermon, but nevertheless, life is just so every day, you should just live it every day. Make the best of it. Do the best you can. There's a lot of things I wish I could do over that's impossible. Only the blood of the Lord Jesus takes care of it. And there's a lot of things I'm glad we were able to do, the work of the kingdom. But it isn't not what these hands have done can save this guilty soul. That's what the hymn writer says, but what the toiling flesh has bought can make my spirit whole. I'm glad this morning for the blood of Jesus, and I'm glad for the songs we can sing, the hymns of praise. I was looking for a poem this morning that I couldn't find, which you can well understand if you see my study. It looks, I wonder if I could find anything, but it looks a mess. But Sister M. Ruth Weaver's mother gave to me years ago. And it would have just helped bring out my thoughts so much better. I think that had to do with getting old and immobile and not doing what could at one time, but doing what we can while we can. So I'm glad for the what the Lord has done for me, and the Lord has given me many rich blessings. Glad for family, glad for children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, the blessings they are. And so we we look forward to the time when we can just pass over off of the scene of time and into eternity and be with the Lord forever. But I wonder, what are they doing? What have those done? What has Abel been doing since all these years? Cain, wherever people are, the awfulness of being in the lake of fire for that long with no end is just, you can't hardly fathom. You can't hardly imagine how that can be. Neither can we imagine the bliss of heaven as we think of being forever in a perfect state, free from the blight of sin, free from temptation, free from falling, and with our Lord forever. We're glad for the hope of eternal life. And we're glad that we can reflect back with fond appreciation for all the contributions that people that have made in my life, and that we can somehow pass that on to others as we have opportunity. So I would again say, if you have anything you'd like to add, just tell me after the church, okay? Somehow or another, words fail to come together. Struggled and struggled with this message, and nevertheless, we'll bring it to a close. When our life's work is ended and we cross the swelling tide, the bright and glorious morning we shall see, shall know my Redeemer. When I reach the other side, sing a verse of that. When my life's work is ended and I cross the swelling tide and the bright and for me and for you. He didn't have to come, but he did. When he sees his print of the nail in his hands, that'd be wonderful. Shall we pray?